Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On Podcast, where we talk about issues affecting veterans after they get out of the military. Before we get started, I'd like to ask a favor. If you haven't done so already, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. If you've already done that, thank you. These ratings help the show get discovered so it can reach a wider audience. And while you're there, click the subscribe button so that you get notified of new episodes as soon as they come out. If you don't use Apple Podcasts, you can visit driveonpodcast.com/subscribe to find other ways of subscribing, including our email list. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now let's get on with the show.
Make sure my
phone. Hey, everyone. Today, my guest is Christopher Page. Christopher has been the commander of an American Legion post in New Jersey for the last 3 years. And during that time, he grew the membership through strengthening the ties to the local community. He's currently moving on to be the vice commander in the county, where he's working to entice younger veterans to join the American Legion. Christopher also started a nonprofit that helps raise awareness for veteran mental health, suicide awareness, and a number of other issues. So, Christopher, thank you for joining us today. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself? I'm sure you can fill in some of the gaps where I left off in the intro there, but why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do there?
Thank you very much. I really appreciate this opportunity to come on here. So a little bit about myself is that I've been in the Army for a little over 16 years now. I'm a senior NCO working on a staff position. And I also teach OPSEC, where it's, you know, a bit of running around to a couple of the National Guard units here up and down the East Coast and reserve units. So that's been a pretty interesting part of my career, having left running around in the woods and chasing after soldiers a lot. It's quite relaxing before going down to a first sergeant position, which I think I'm going to be doing this sometime this fall. The other things I do is that I started up a great little nonprofit in New York City celebrating the Army's birthday. Every year we pick a Army veteran who has, since hanging up the uniform, gone on to do great things within their community. It's a way of giving back. And how that all started was several years ago, I was standing around with a couple of Marine friends of mine celebrating the Marine Corps birthday on November 10th. So as we were raising glasses to the Marine Corps, no better friend, no worse enemy, they all started chiding me on why the Army has no interest in doing something similar. So after a few beverages, we all decided that it would be in our best interest to do something similar for the Army in New York City, because why not? Fortunately for me, I knew the head of Army Public Affairs in New York City, and him being a former Marine was there. Actually had a very easy time of pitching this to General Odierno, who loved coming to New York City quite a bit. And so it was a very easy sell to get General Odierno to come to New York City. And in doing so, that kind of legitimized our you know, basically drunken conversation on why the Army doesn't celebrate its Army, the birthday party like the Marine Corps does. And after General Odierno had a great time at our first event, he, I guess in his notes or his staff's notes, they said next year, bigger and better. So we founded it as a nonprofit, and we had to put a little bit of meat and potatoes behind the effort. We couldn't just have a nonprofit to just throw a party every once a year. So we actually had to do some educational work around that as well in order to become a legitimate 501c3. So now we hold panels throughout the year, and we do other events such as ruck marching, sailing, you name it. We're out there in the community engaged with folks doing events that raise awareness around suicide prevention, homelessness amongst veterans, TBI, PTSD, and a bunch of the other big picture issues that are framed around everything about everything they're dealing with the veteran space right now. So we put these events on, and we do a lot of great work within the community with our messaging. And to top it all off, we then end up having a great birthday party on around June 14th every year, which a lot of people in the Army actually don't know. The Army birthday is celebrated, and it is June 14th. Although the Reserves and the Guard have a different birthday, we celebrated on the big Army birthday party. And we're actually, it's a fairly inclusive event. So without the help of those Marines, we wouldn't exist. So what happened is we ended up inviting a disproportionate amount of Marines to these events. And that's led to a couple of them making fun of it, calling it Marine Week. And they so they tag our pictures and they hashtag it Marine Week, and you know they're trying to get their jobs in. So we give it back to them just as much, but it's out of a shared love. I have no hard feelings towards any Marines. And actually, my time in Iraq, I served almost exclusively with Marines, and that was one of the best experiences of my life working with those guys and gals, actually. So previous recipients of our award, which is called the Soldier for Life Award, have been folks who helped build the Vietnam Veteran Memorial down in Washington, D.C. Jan Scruggs. We've honored Harry Robinson. He's a world-renowned architect, African-American veteran of Vietnam. He was a ranger, and that guy's got stories for days on his short tour in Vietnam, which are just as absurd as you could imagine. You know, having lived a soldier's life, his stories are just on par with anything you could imagine, as absurd as they are. And then we have the CEO emeritus of HBO, Bill Nelson. He was our first award recipient, who basically he volunteered to go to Vietnam, served in the 101st Airborne when it was still airborne, and did a great job over in Vietnam. He served honorably. He ended up unfortunately having to return with the remains of his best friend, who they volunteered together to join the Army. And when he came back here, his story is also incredible, by the way. And I'm not going to do justice on this, but he came back here bringing the remains of his best friend, and a bunch of his friends of his family. They're all firefighters, you know, total blue collar New York guys. They said, hey, you know, you fought your war. There's no reason for you to go back. And he told them straight up that, no, I'm going back. My soldiers need me. And he went back, completed his tour, finished his time in the Army honorably, and then came back to go on to do great things in the community. Donates regularly to great charitable organizations, such as the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in downtown New York City to honor New Yorkers who lost their lives in Vietnam, as well as a plethora of other nonprofits that he works with. So he was our first award recipient. We could think of no better person to do that. I mean, coming out from the enlisted ranks to be a CEO of a company, a Fortune 500 company, that's incredibly impressive for what he's done.
Yeah, and, it definitely sounds like an impressive person, an impressive background, yeah. You know, from, you know, just what you've told us here in, you know, the last, you know, minute or two about this person. And I'm sure you can fill volumes of books with stories that he has, that would be just as interesting to listen to, or to read, you know.
The best part about that is that the majority of the folks that we've honored there have been enlisted from Vietnam. And the best thing about all of those folks, as humble as it can be, that there's no air about them. They want to help this next generation of warfighter get what they're entitled to and not have to be spat on upon their return. So I you know, massive kudos to our brothers and sisters who fought in Vietnam and came home, did all that honorably and went about quietly living their lives, because we owe so much to those men and women. And I can't thank them enough.
Yeah, we certainly do. And especially this, so this episode will be, we're recording it a little bit before Memorial Day, but this will be coming out the day after Memorial Day, actually, this year. So that's, you know, a great way to, you know, remember the people who didn't make it home, you know, talking about people like this who, you know, honored their sacrifice by going back, you know, even though he was told, you know, you've done your duty, you don't need to go back, that type of thing. But, you know, people like that, will do their job, do their duty, and go back and honor the memory of the people who have fallen. And it's absolutely, it's really, really amazing, you know, to hear stories like that. So thank you for sharing that story about yeah, that person. And it's really great that you as your organization is doing what they do and recognizing these people, these people who are standing out as, pillars of their community, really, after their service,
Yeah, they're very quiet pillars of the community too. These folks, you wouldn't know. They no airs about them, very humble. They've seen the worst of humanity, and then they've gone to do great things within their community. And I can't thank them enough. So that then leads me on to, I guess, what I do for now the American Legion and my local VFW, although to a lesser extent with them. But we work together because we're both small in our communities, but we're growing now. So my civilian side of the house, I do regulatory compliance, and I've been working in that space in New York City for some time. I had worked a lot within American Legion post within the New York Athletic Club in Midtown Manhattan. And there you have quite a bit of a diverse group of individuals who are very, very much in the mindset of that, using that place as a great place to network, to get career advice, career advancement, and do a lot of great things within that local community. Having that kind of a viewpoint, and I don't know if you know very much about the New York Athletic Club, but it literally sits on the south end of Central Park. So if you go up to the rooftop, you're looking straight up Central Park, and it's an amazing venue for events, which is where we also hold our Army birthday gala. But, the ties to the community are a little, not as strong as they would be for maybe an American Legion post or a VFW in a small town. In Manhattan, you kind of get lost in the concrete jungle, mm-hmm, and you just kind of find your peers in that space. So for the American Legion, it happens to be veterans, and they're highly motivated veterans. So a good chunk of the people that belong there, there are Academy grads and went on to Columbia or Wharton, you name it, very well known and established business schools. And then you have a couple of highly motivated former enlisted folks as well, who are going down the same career path as these officers. So you're having these folks, these two groups come together for a common mission of trying to bring themselves up in the business community in New York City, whether it be in finance, law, entertainment, you name it, anything that basically New York City has to offer. So it's a great spot for that. And the club itself is a fantastic venue as well. However, if you go out again to an American Legion post or VFW in a small town, for example, there you're going to be doing a lot more work with the local schools, the local community, and you'll see a lot more of the four pillars that you actually, most folks know who are members of the American Legion, know what those four pillars are. So having then moved from New York City several years ago to now live with my wife, we found a local American Legion post that was basically falling apart, literally falling apart. About 10 years ago, the building, which stood on the ground where it currently stands, and I highly recommend everyone going to check out the Facebook page, because the building is actually beautiful and the view of Midtown Manhattan is even much better. But the building that was there beforehand was the original building that had been on the site prior to the American Legion posts, the members buying it from right after World War I. So you can imagine what kind of a state that building was in about 10 years ago after being in existence for about 100-something years. So what happened was the local folks in the town, the city hall, they ended up getting a bunch of money to rebuild the building. And from there, it Basically, it's a fantastic community center slash meeting point for veterans in order to help bring together the community, basically.
And when we were talking before we started recording, you had mentioned that you worked on growing the membership. I believe it was at that post when you first started out there. It was somewhere around 20 or so members, and in a couple of years, you grew that to well over 100 members.
Yep.
Which is somewhere around five times the number of members in a pretty short amount of time. So what was it that you did? What did you do to go out and find those members? And more importantly, I guess, like, how did you get them to become members? Like, what was it, through the revitalization of the building, or was it, through your work in the community? What were some of those things that you were doing to get them?
Yeah, it was a combination of a few things. This is a problem that's beset a lot of different American Legions, VFWs, AMVETs, you name it, across the country, is that the older, typically Vietnam-era veterans don't know how to entice the younger veterans to come into their posts. Mm. And what you basically just need is to find maybe a handful of younger veterans who want to come in and create, and basically let them off any kind of leash that they might be put on by normal leadership that happened to be in there. And this is the way business has been done for as long as I've been here. So let them do things. Let them take over some of the leadership positions. Let them help run the post. And that's basically what happened for us is I took over. And first thing I did was invited a bunch of my veteran friends in the area to come join the post. And it wasn't that hard of a sell. They would come to the post and see the view of Midtown Manhattan. And, they were like, immediately, like, sign me up. I want a part of this. It's gorgeous. It sits, like, right next to a park and looks right at Midtown Manhattan. And it's just absolutely just stunning. And it's just a great place to sit down after a long week if you want to have a cigar or a beverage, or sit there and play cards. Or, mm-hmm. On weekends, we'll barbecue. So that was the first thing I kind of set in motion. To invite a couple friends over. And once I got them hooked on the view, then it got to, hey, we need to get some of this work done around this post. So a lot of cleaning happened to happen. We cleaned the place up. We removed some needless furniture that had been sitting around for forever. Basically just threw it in the dumpster because it was just trashed. And we set the task with fixing the place up. Then from there, we started building ties with the community. So a lot of the folks that were members there had kind of just fallen out of contact with people in the community. So they were much older, in their 70s. So none of their kids were in schools anymore. They were all retired from either like the local fire department or the police department. So they didn't know who the younger members were at those places. And so I reached out by walking there. And started talking to some of the guys and women that were in the police force and the fire department, EMS, and as well as the schools. And one of the great things about the Legion is to do for community outreach is to recognize an outstanding member of the community. So for one of the first things we did with that program was that in a town next to us called West New York, what we did was we'd put a call out for all the police chiefs to get back to us and who we could recognize for doing an outstanding job in the community. West New York was one of the first towns that replied to us. And one of their police officers, he actually went into a situation where there was a gentleman who wanted suicide by a cop. And this police officer, think of this situation as you will, he sat down next to this individual who wanted to die and talked him down. Tase him, didn't threaten him. He just saw this man who was in anguish, sat down next to him and very calmly talked him down from what he was considering. And the guy's alive today because this guy's the police officer's heroic actions. So we gave him a little bit of recognition, went all the way up to our state level here in New Jersey. And mm-hmm. We got a nice certificate for him, framed it, and an award that we presented to him. And so that was one of the other ways we reach out to the community. We also recognize annually a teacher in our community, which is has gone above and beyond their station and reaching out to the kids who are in need, who maybe need a little extra work in helping with their school homework or whatever the case may be. And we've done that now. This is our third year in a row we're doing this. Our post, because of a lot of closures of other posts, now encompasses a wide area of the North Hudson County region. So we have a lot of schools to cover and a lot of police departments and first responders. So things like that kind of really helped us reconnect with the community. All the mayors know who we are now. They see that we're, you know, an active member of our community. They reach out to us for some advice on what to do with our community. Another person maybe you might consider having on your podcast is the gentleman who rebuilt the Hoboken American Legion post. That gentleman, right after Hurricane Sandy, their post was just destroyed. The Hoboken is basically sea level, maybe a few feet above it, and the whole place just got a lot of the buildings there just got wiped out on their ground floors. So they rebuilt their post for housing for up to 8 veterans, formerly homeless veterans. And so they're doing amazing things there too. Now, I'm very proud of our county, the American Legion Post and the VFWs. We've been doing a lot of work and doing outreach to help out a lot of the local folks impacted by especially COVID and even Hurricane Sandy. A lot of that's done with it's helped out a lot that we have solid county leadership, which I'm happy to be moving up to that level now so I can help with the county grow, especially bringing in younger veterans to help out their communities and do right by their elder brothers and sisters in arms, as well as, you know, it's their families that they're working with too, you know? Yeah.
I think one of the great things about organizations like the American Legion is, and this maybe is something that a lot of people don't recognize, is, you know, it's not just a club where you go and, you know, have a drink and, you know, play cards, you know, there's a lot of other things that go on. And sure, you have that aspect of it too, where it's, you know, kind of a social type of club too, but there's the community involvement that, that is really important. Once you leave the service, you get out of the military, a lot of times people are looking for that type of sense of purpose or sense of, you know, belonging and that type of thing. And by continuing to serve your community, I know having been in the National Guard, you know, a lot of it is a lot of the job that you do is not necessarily the big federal missions, you know, deployments to war zones and things like that. A lot of times it's done on the local level, on the state level and helping your community, especially these days with COVID going on and, you know, supply distribution and things like that, where the National Guard is being called up around the country to help get, you know, PPE to the hospitals and to get, you know, food and other supplies distributed throughout the states. You know, it really is, you know, a strong tie to the local community. Whereas, you know, the American Legion, VFW and other organizations like that also have that strong tie to the community. A couple weeks ago, I had had somebody from the American Legion National Headquarters on, and he talked about the importance of the older members. And I know you were saying how, you know, some of the older members, they didn't really have the ties to the community. The flip side to that though, from what he was saying is, they tended to have more time available to them. You know, a lot of them being retired or just, you know, part-time type of thing, where they tended to act kind of as mentors to the younger veterans. And I think that's something that a lot of the younger veterans, are maybe missing out on. You know, they don't have access to the wide range of experience, the life experience that a lot of these older veterans have gone through. They've made a lot of mistakes, and they're more than willing to open up and share their experiences with those younger veterans. And they have the time to be present, you know, like I said, because they're either retired or just part-time working or whatever. So now being able to entice those younger veterans into the American Legion, it's now opening them up to this wider range of experience, which is great. So I'm glad to see that you found a way to get those younger veterans in. Because for a lot of people, myself included, just up until a few months ago, it was one of those things where I just felt like it was like an old man drinking club. One of those things where you associate it with your grandparents' generation, World War II or Vietnam vets who go there and they just go and hang out in a dark smoky bar and drink and tell war stories and stuff like that. And
that's it wasn't what it exactly used to be.
Yeah, exactly. But hearing these stories of the community involvement with the police, the police officer that you honored, or recognized, for his service, I can't really think of anyone more deserving than someone like that. But, and the teachers and things like that.
Yeah, we have, having those kinds of ties to the community is what really will drive growth within these organizations. And you're absolutely right. A lot of the older members are great for mentorship, for educating us for what went right and what went wrong. Especially they have the institutional knowledge of, the local community. Unfortunately, in some of the even older ones, we still look out for them and try and help them out. But unfortunately, the younger veterans, I'm talking like guys who maybe, and women who maybe just did one tour and got out, they don't really necessarily connect. And that's an ingredient that we've managed to bridge, where you have the intermediary age of guys who are in the senior ranks of NCOs like myself, or maybe some mid to senior rank officers. We have some of those as well, who are able to, they're in their 40s and they're still basically in the prime of their lives, they're the ones that are able to really connect with maybe some of the younger guys, just because the age difference is just not that great. And they're in charge of companies. They're able to do the actual hiring for them, or give them the advice, or connect them with somebody who'd be able to help them out. So you definitely need a breadth of varying ages in there, in every post. And fortunately for us, we managed to hit that magic mixture of folks that are in there. Just basically the makeup of our post is it's so diverse. It's fantastic. You'll have folks who work in government, local government, state government, a few folks that are retired, myself who works on Wall Street, not actually literally on Wall Street, but I work in a financial firm in Manhattan, and we can bring in folks and we can help them out, especially the younger folks who are now using their GI Bill, and they come into our posts and then they're saying to us, hey, okay, now I'm my last year of school, what do I do next? Mm-hmm. And because I've been there, I'm able to help tell them my story and, maybe help them one way or another and connect them with some folks who might give them an internship or just give them a chance. And that's needed in a lot of posts.
Speaking of your story, maybe I can get a little personal with this and ask, what led you to want to join the American Legion or the VFW in the first place? Did someone kind of invite you in, or was it just something that you felt like you were missing something and you decided to go seek that out on your own?
A little bit of a mixture. So back to what you said, my grandfather belonged to a VFW not far from here, actually. And when I'd gotten off of active duty, because I spent some years on active duty, and then I went to college here at Seton Hall University. His VFW was basically, I shut it down. Myself and a Vietnam veteran shut it down. So from my understanding is that they weren't necessarily the great at recognizing that the folks coming back from Vietnam were, you know, like worthy of being members of their post. And so obviously there was a bit of a break off between veterans groups around that time, hence the growth of the Vietnam Veterans of America. So it was just one of the saddest moments, because I remember being there as a kid in a smoke-filled room while grandpa was drinking very cheap Budweiser. You know, the stories I heard in there from, you know, these older World War II veterans were just amazing. And, you know, having come off of active duty and then going there and seeing that it was basically myself and a Vietnam veteran were the only ones there anymore, because everyone had either just moved to Florida or gone, unfortunately. It was sad. We had to shut the place down. We sold it, and no longer is in existence. So fast forward to a couple of years ago, my post again was down to like 20 something members. A bunch of those members were retired already in Florida, not really active at all. I saw the post in need of some just fixing up, and little did I know the extent of what work would go into being a commander at the post. And oh my God, I don't regret it at all, but at the same time, it's like, wow, this is like basically a full-time job for me. Great. Now on top of being a reservist and working full-time in Manhattan and having a, you know, a wife and a dog and trying to do like a million different things, I have, you know, like a third full-time job. Great. This is all I need. Right. Fortunately for me though, I had some other great volunteers that stepped up and really helped out a lot, but it is quite a bit of work. You're basically managing an office building almost. I had to learn a lot about HVAC systems and all sorts of crazy things that I never thought in a million years I'd have to learn about, but here we are. But yeah, that's what kind of led me to help save this place and bring it back. And a lot of the younger members who join, you know, my major selling point for them is, you know, what are you using to get through your college right now? And they say, well, the GI Bill. It's like, well, guess who made the GI Bill? The American Legion.
Right.
No, I don't say to them, hey, I expect you to be here for all these meetings. We've actually scaled back meetings a lot. Because, you know, the older generation guys, they were meeting monthly, and it's like, no, that's not happening. You know, that this could be an email.
Yeah.
So we scaled back a lot of those kinds of activities, and then we just put out information. So we do yoga at the post. My wife, of all things, she went and got a yoga certification, so now she teaches yoga at the post. It's just a little bit of a donation to come and join. So if some of the younger veterans want to go do that, we do an annual 5K run with a VFW, so we do stuff with them as well. Mm-hmm. And so folks can pick and choose what they want to do without the pressure of having to be there all the time and doing things for the post, which is great. And so there's no pressure to do things. But they know that because of constant communication to them that we're doing, you know, all these great community led efforts with their dues, which are helping to pave the way for, you know, we do Mental Health Awareness Day. We do Women's Health Awareness Day. We've done a couple naturalization ceremonies at the post, bringing in new Americans. One of the proudest moments ever in my entire life was staying there and bringing in 30 something new, brand new Americans from, I think it was like 23 different countries.
Wow.
And giving them their certificate, making them brand new Americans. It was absolutely amazing. And with the backdrop of New York City right behind us and the Hudson Rivers, it was just beautiful. It was absolutely gorgeous. And actually it was funny. I had a lot of friends from around the world who said, if they could redo their naturalization ceremony, they would want to do it at the post. So I was like, maybe one day we'll have like an unofficial ceremony for you, just so you can get up there and do it. But all this kind of like ties together with bringing these new veterans in, and you know, like just sell to them like plain and simple, like, hey, your money goes to helping out the next generation of veterans with their GI Bill. Because without the funding that comes in through your membership and your support of the Legion, that money's not going down to DC. So those folks can fight on the Hill for you to help with your rights under USERRA. Anytime Congress wants to get their sticky fingers all over your GI Bill funding and take that away from you. Guess who's there fighting the good fight to prevent that from happening? Because there's no such thing as a sure thing. You know, the way the winds blow down in D.C. just depends on what topic's hot at the moment. So you never know. All of a sudden, your housing allowance for your GI Bill might dry up, and try to afford living in Manhattan while attending NYU or whatever, Fordham.
Sure.
It's not going to happen. It's not like back in the day when these guys coming back from World War II had a housing set up for them, and their monthly rent was probably like $50 or whatever it was. You know, good luck getting an apartment in Manhattan for like anything less than $2,000 a month.
Yeah, that's where the work of organizations like the American Legion come in to help push the legislation along that supports the veterans and gets the benefits that they desperately need. And it sounds like, you know, the nonprofit that you have has a lot of similar interaction with the community and things with the mental health awareness and the homeless veterans and things like that, you know, trying to raise awareness for those types of things and helping out with that. So it seems like you certainly have your hands full with all of that. Yeah. but it also seems like you're juggling it all very well and keeping maybe keeping all the plates spinning at the same time. So that's certainly hats off to you and the community, the members of your community and the American Legion and everything for helping out all of those people. And it looks like we're kind of coming up on time here. Sometimes these things go by quicker than you think, but so I wanted to thank you for taking the time to join us and tell us about, you know, what you're doing and how organizations like the American Legion can help out the community. But how can people find out more about your organization, maybe to make a donation, find out about your events? Where can they go to find out about that?
So you can check us out on our social media page. Right now we're revamping our website because we have a very ambitious new commander coming in who wants to do a lot more with the community, and he's bringing on a solid team. So our website's under construction right now, of all things, because it actually makes sense due to COVID. So now we're doing a total revamp of a lot of things. But our Facebook page is still active, and we're active on Twitter and Instagram as well. I believe I sent you the links if you want to just throw those up, and it'd be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, I'll put all those in the show notes.
Yeah, they're fantastic. We try and lay out all the greatest and latest news that's going on within our community. We try and highlight our members and what they're doing in the community. If folks want to come out and either you can rent the place or just come in and check the place out, we'd love to have you there. It's a fantastic venue, and I trust me, even when it's the weather is not good, the view of Manhattan is still fantastic. But we'd love to have anybody who wants to come out. We even have folks come out from National and Indianapolis because they love our post that much. So
that's great.
So thank you very much for having me on here. I really appreciate it. And you yourself, if you want to come down, we'd love to have you at our post. If you want to do a live podcast from our post, you won't be disappointed.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we can show you a great view of the city and give you a little tour around town, and you get to see firsthand of all the great things that we're doing. And I'd love to introduce you to a lot of our veterans who do way more stuff than I do, and they're so in touch with everything in the community. Our members are just absolutely amazing because I stand in humble awness of everything that they're doing to help support. And it's stuff that you just will never hear about in the national media, just because it's very community based, and what they're doing is just amazing and making such an incredible local impact. So if possible, I'd love to send them your way so you can give them some recognition, because they're just amazing.
Yeah, it would be great to have people like that on the show, because I'm always looking to try to get people who are doing things in either in their community or for veterans as a whole to get spread the word about those resources, because a lot of times you know, people just don't know that some of these resources even exist. And, you know, if they're out there and they're available waiting for people to show up, like let's get it done and get them access to these things, you know, if we can. So, so yeah, absolutely. After we're done recording here, we'll definitely talk about that.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Drive On Podcast.